You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Evan and Tinky till 6:25 tonight. Get Yankee pregame as the New York Yankees and the Texas Rangers will lock up. Paul Goldschmidt is back in the leadoff spot, which is great news for Tommy Lugauer. And the race for the leadoff spot, Chase, is unbelievable. If you guys are keeping score at home, tonight Paul Goldschmidt will lead off for the 14th time.
Mm-hmm.
Trent Grisham has led off 14 times.
Uh-oh.
The current leader, though, is Ben Rice at 16 times. So 16 Rice, 14 Grisham, 14 Goldie, and the two others, the strays, if you will, Austin Wells twice, Cody Bellinger once. That's your race for who's going to lead off the most times for the New York Yankees in 2025. We'll get into what Carlos Mendoza had to say, the fallout from Juan Soto last night. But first, it is Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. So, last night, a difficult night for me and other Mets fans like myself. The Mets have fallen out of first place after a Phillies win over the Rockies and the Mets loss at Fenway Park, meaning my wire-to-wire first-place prediction for our Metsies is over. And I will have to be painted head to toe in some blue and orange pinstripes, and Evan will select the date in which that will happen. But I'm not giving up on my Mets, and I'm here to give you the five most likely dates the Mets return to first place.
Nice.
Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
Sunday, September 28th, the Mets beat the Marlins to take back the NL East on the last day of the season, building some playoff momentum.
That'd be awesome.
It is kind of scary to think that the Mets closed the season against the Marlins, because that does provide a lot of horrific memories.
Sure it does. But we carry on. Here we go, Tommy.
Number four.
Never. The Mets never return to first place as the number four option.
The reason why that is on the table is if they're struggling right now, if this struggle continues against Boston and LA, and the Phillies fatten up a little bit against the Rockies right now, and then they play the A's, and all of a sudden it's a 3-4 game deficit, you never know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, but don't the Mets really soon have also the Rockies?
They do. After they're done with this series against Boston and this weekend against the Dodgers, back-to-back, they will play the Chicago White Sox at Citi Field and the Colorado Rockies at Citi Field.
Then they got four in L.A. and then four and three in Colorado after that.
Yeah.
Now they got the Dodgers seven times in the next 2 weeks.
That's right.
Dodgers are struggling.
Now, right looking now. Ahead, the Philadelphia Phillies, after they're done, they return home and play the Braves. So, you're right.
And Spencer Strider's back.
That's right.
Tiki's all in on the Spencer Strider return. Here we go.
Number three.
June 22nd, after yet another sweep of the Phillies.
Hey, that's possible. They do get another crack at Philadelphia, and we do have the tiebreaker so far, 3-0 Mets.
By the way, that's a good one, because you never know if it could come down to that series.
Exactly. Here we go.
Number two.
A little bit of a theme here. How about Thursday, September 11th, at the conclusion of a four-game sweep versus the Phillies? The Mets take it back in September.
All right, let's get to number one.
And number one.
The number one most likely date the Mets return to first place, tonight. The Mets are winning tonight, and the Phillies are losing. Relax, everybody.
That would be very fitting. If all of a sudden it's a one-day stay out. I'll tell you one thing that's a positive about dropping out of first place, and this is a weird thing, but I'm being honest. In 2021, the Mets were in first place for a majority of the season. They were a flawed team, but they were in first place. And when they finally fell out and then eventually got run by, it made it worse.
Right.
Like being in, and even 2022, where you were there in Atlanta, that made it worse too. We had the NL East the entire season, and then the Braves jump ahead the final week of the year. That made it worse too. So 2 years in a row, 21 and 22, the Met fans spent the majority of each season in first place. And losing the division was far worse when you had so much of that tease.
Because you all of a sudden have this false sense of security that it's going to happen. And then you feel comfortable, not comfortable, but you feel assured that you're there. And so when you have it for that long, to lose it sucks. And it's almost demoralizing.
Yes.
Maybe it explains in some capacity why they faltered the way that they did in the postseason. So, I get it, why you want to lead wire to wire. But the pressure it keeps on you makes it sometimes harder to continue to produce after the regular season's over.
Yeah, man. The back and forth will be better, but we'll see. Look, the Phillies have played really good baseball. Kyle Schwarber's having a great year. And yes, the Mets could jump back into first place with a win tonight. Now, what does Carlos Mendoza have to say today? Mets play at 6:45 against the Red Sox. That's why we're on TV a little bit earlier. Obviously, last night we started the show with this. You can rewind on the Odyssey app. Mendy said, yeah, I need to talk to Juan Soto about the lack of hustle. When Juan Soto was asked about the lack of hustle, he said, I've been hustling. You should be watching. I've been doing it.
Yes. So do you want to go with something audio-related or not audio-related? I only say that because we're conflicting here. I don't know which Twitter page you want me to go to.
You tell me everything Carlos said, and we'll give you our reaction.
Okay. So here we go. Laura Albanese said, as far as him and Juan Soto, Carlos Mendoza. Mendoza said he wasn't going to get into what conversation, if any, he had with Soto. He said Soto cares very much and is frustrated with his play. They'll continue to coach him, continue to teach him, continue to support him. So that's the non-audio version of what
we're hearing. So Carlos is not going to tell us. After last night, he said, I'll talk to Juan about the lack of hustle. He's not going to get into specifics. You tell me, Teague.
Mm-hmm.
If you said something and your coach completely contradicted you in that post-game presser, and you know, all right, we should have a conversation about this. Is the best approach to say, if you're the manager, so in this case, Fossil or Coughlin, tell me what you think. Hear what he has to say.
You mean in a private conversation?
Completely private.
Yeah. I think, honestly, the best thing to do is just not talk about it.
Oh, you have to talk about it.
Not necessarily.
Really?
No, because you both know. And so by addressing it, you only address it if you feel like it's going to keep happening. I don't think this is going to keep happening. I don't think this is going to be a recurring problem with the Mets from a skip, a head coach, to a player standpoint, situation where they're competing perspectives on the same event and it creates a media havoc. I don't see that happening. So,
but why wouldn't it continue to happen since it happened two games in a row?
But Juan Soto's not stupid.
I mean, I'm not saying he's stupid, but are you convinced he's running out a ground ball deep in the hole at shortstop tonight?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not.
I am.
I'm not.
He's been asked about it twice.
But he also denied it was an issue.
So at some point, the media will tell you what the narrative is about you. And if you're smart, and if you're a New York ball player, football, baseball, whatever, you better just listen to the media. You don't have to respect or believe or, I don't know, adhere to anything they say, but just listen to them.
Right.
They're telling you what the issue is. Right, your critic, as Benjamin Franklin said, can be your friend.
Right,
he shows you your faults. Right,
right. Right.
So don't respond to it; just listen to it. That's all he has to do.
All right.
Now let's get on with our audio portion of the program from Carlos Mendoza. What about having to deal with Juan Soto and the situation he's going through right now? Here was Mendy's response.
When you have a player of that caliber of talent, how can you support him best in the situation where maybe he hasn't?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Experienced a lot of strife or failure before?
Yeah, in a lot of different ways, you know, in understanding that they're human, you know, and a lot of times their frustrations are going to get the best out of them, especially a guy like that, which is, you know, he's so talented and has so much success early in his career. And, you know, like right now he feels like maybe, you know, he could do a little bit more for the team, you know, and he's part of it. And that's part of the conversation here, understanding the personnel. But at the same time, a guy like him, he wants to be challenged. He wants to be coached. And that's what makes him special.
Oh, that's the case. Then you can tell him, hey,
yeah,
you didn't run that ball out. I'm going to coach you. I'm going to challenge you. Run that ball out next time. Or the real answer I have, I know a lot of Met fans disagree with me on this, but honestly, my opinion is there are certain moments where I don't really mind if you don't hustle. Mm-hmm. And then there are certain moments like eighth inning, tie game, leading off an inning. Bust it.
Right.
Go for it. I get it.
Show that winning this game means something.
Yeah, or this at-bat can be the difference in the game. And it doesn't mean you're taking at-bats off, but I also understand, like, you don't want to pull your hamstring running out a ball on a ground ball to shortstop in the fourth inning of a 6-1 game. Not to minimize it, but I get it. I understand. It's why I don't scream on the radio every time a guy doesn't run it out. Right. Because if we did do that, we'd be screaming every freaking day. It's the moments.
Right.
It's the look. You hit a ball off the Green Monster on a day in which clearly the wind is blowing in. Maybe you shouldn't stand there and pose. Maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you should actually move. And by the way, even if he does move, there's no guarantees on second base. The Green Monster is a bitch. You know right. what I mean?
Yeah, because it ricochets so far back.
And Duran knows how to play it perfectly.
And he did.
And he did twice on Pete Alonso and then on Juan Soto.
Okay, and last but not least, the Mets and Juan Soto dealing with a lot of outside noise. How does Carlos Mendoza help them block out that noise?
How difficult can it be for Juan and some of these other guys to block out all the outside noise, especially when what you're seeing may not be reflective of the reality in here?
It starts with me as a manager. You know, my job is to block that noise. You know, there is a lot of noise right now. And it's nothing new for us, you know, and it's nothing new for the guys in there. There are a lot of guys there that were here last year, a lot of guys that got a lot of experience here in New York, you know, and they know what what it means, you know, especially when you're going through situations like this. It's all part of it. We'll be together. We'll stay together. We'll have each other's back here. And we'll block all that noise. That's all it is. It's noise. You know, we go out there. We got to win a game to win. And we got a series here. We got an opportunity to win a series. And that's what we'll continue to try and do. I believe on those guys. They're in a good place. And if there's a team that knows how to handle adversity, it's this team, you know. And again, it's just a little bit of noise right now.
That is true. Mm-hmm. Last year's team knew how to handle adversity, and it's a very similar team, but it's not exactly the same.
Right.
There are changes, and that leads me to the Knicks and the Pacers, because I was thinking about this all night last night, too. This is not like a real rematch. You know why it's not a real rematch?
Why? Because so many people, players are different?
The Knicks specifically. Like, the Pacers are uniquely the same. If you think about it, their rotation is the same. Their lineup is the same. Obviously, the coach is the same. The difference is...
And that benefits them.
Well, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things that leans me slightly to Indiana. They're now battle-tested. This is the same crew. Now, are they better than last year's team? Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Knicks are completely different, and that's not necessarily a negative, because the other thing, Teak, is while they're different, they're better.
Of course.
Like, this Knick roster... And I know we've had this discussion all year, and sometimes it, like, hurts your brain because some Knick fans are like, I like last year's teams better. Mm. You could like last year's team better all you want. This year's team is clearly better. And yeah, it's always been better throughout this regular season, whether you wanted to admit it or not.
It's just not been consistent.
And you didn't have the feels for Mikal and Kat the way you did for DiVincenzo and Ihart. That's the truth,
That doesn't mean anything.
Right? No, it meant something when Knick fans were saying they liked last year's team better than this year's
team. I'm talking about... what does it mean towards your ability to win a game? That doesn't matter. And what matters is how well you're going to play consistently. And for the Pacers, they've been consistently good for the last 2 weeks of the regular season and all through the postseason.
It goes back even further than that. Since January 1st, mm-hmm, they had the third best record in the NBA.
Yeah,
I think it was 38-14. I'd have to double check it.
It was something ridiculous. I know the last month of the season, they lost 3 games.
Yeah, they were under 500 a couple of months into the season. Mm-hmm. But it's not a rematch because they're so different. Like, think about last year's rotation against Indiana. And this includes injuries, but also doesn't include injuries. Like, we're just talking about the rosters. Like, yes, Jalen Brunson individually is looking for revenge. Mm. I understand that.
Yes.
But Josh Hart looking for revenge, but... Think about the rest of the roster. Mikal Bridges, Karl Anthony Towns. It is so uniquely different in a lot of ways.
Now, who does that benefit? I mean, in theory, it's still the Pacers.
It benefits, look, the team being together longer mm-hmm. benefits Indiana, but the Knicks are a better team than they were last
year.
Right,
on paper, if you went player for player, for all reasons, scoring, rebounding, et cetera, you'd say the Knicks have the edge.
Yes.
From guys who can take over a game and score, I don't know, 12 points in a quarter, Mikal Bridges, or defend the hell out of somebody, it's still Mikal or Mitchell Robinson. You don't get that feel from the Pacers, but they're hot. Now, they've been off for a week now.
This will be, when they play tomorrow night, 8 days.
8 days,
between
a week
games.
And a day. So they've been off for a week today. They'll be off for a week and a day before between games. Now, that's either great because you get to rest, or you come in cold.
Yeah.
And because so much of their shooting, especially their three-point shooting from Nembhard and Naismith, has been like hot as hell. 50, one of them is shooting 50, one's shooting 58%, whatever it is. They've been ridiculous from three-point range. Do they cool off or do they stay hot?
Now, they both had long breaks. The Knicks are going to be on 4 days off. The Pacers are going to be on 8 days off, which is crazy. Who said it the other day? Somebody on the Nuggets. It may have been Aaron Gordon who... Major props to Aaron Gordon. Like, nothing but respect for that guy playing through a great two hamstring issue. But I think Aaron Gordon said he believes in the NBA playoffs, each series should feature 2 off days between each game. That to maximize the best of the best, you got to give guys the proper rest. And the way to do it is to give each team 2 days off.
Hmm.
And so it makes a lot of sense in terms of the product being better.
Right.
But it's not fair to us as fans because we don't want to sit there and wait 2 days.
That's a long time.
It's a long-ass time.
Even a sweep would take a week
and
a plus.
Like, this Knick-Pacers series is every other day, which I think is perfect.
Yeah.
But I understand the athletes saying, hey, it's not really enough. We're going to be banged up and tired. But I think it was Aaron Gordon who made that claim after the Denver series. Let's get to some of your calls. Anthony's in the Bronx. Anthony. Hello, Anthony. Anthony going once. Anthony is gone. We'll go to Steven in Staten Island. What's up, Steven?
Hey, what's up? I think I have the most embarrassing moment of the Subway Series at Yankee Stadium this past Sunday.
All right, let's hear it.
So for some reason, I assumed that Aaron Judge was batting second, and I was I was stupid enough to not look up at the screen to see who was batting second. So bottom of the first inning, somebody goes up, they get out. I stand up with all the confidence in the world, stick my chest out and go, all rise out in left field for everybody. I said, all rise for the king. You know who's up. And that's when the announcer says, up at bat, Trent Grisham. And I just stood there. And in case it couldn't get any worse, that's when somebody walked down and says, excuse me, you're sitting in my seat. You're in the wrong section.
Oh, jeez.
And I got to stand up with my girlfriend, my best friend, and my brother like an idiot and walk through everybody. And some guy just looks at me and goes, not a good look, man.
Right. Yeah. First time, huh?
I kind of feel bad for him. And you know whose fault this is? This is Aaron Boone's fault. Like, if Aaron Judge was just batting second every single day instead of flip-flopping him between two and three, he wouldn't have been confused. But I don't blame him, because first two games of the Subway Series, Judge is batting second. What happens on Sunday night? Mm-hmm. He has to hit Aaron Judge third. This is all Aaron Boone's fault, and I feel bad for you. Neil in the Bronx. Hey, Neil.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, Neil?
I just want to ask you guys a quick question real quick with Juan Soto. And it's probably because the way he's playing now, compared to the previous years, is because he already has the big contract and is a done deal. He's going to get his money anyway. It's not like he's not going to get his money. Could that be playing into his head, probably?
I don't think so. I think Juan Soto is the type of player that wants to and needs to be great at what he does. Otherwise, he wouldn't be so great in moments, because it's not all the time. We've already talked about his slumping at the end of his Nationals career, first couple months in San Diego. I think he wants to be great. So the money is what it is. Maybe the pressure of the money makes it tougher, but I can't imagine that he's the type of athlete that just says, I'm good.
There was always something about Anthony Rendon that rubbed me the wrong way. Mm. And I bring this up because that's a guy who took the money and said, I'm done.
Yeah.
Anthony Rendon made comments before his free agency, years before his free agency, passing comments about not really loving baseball. Mm-hmm. Things like that. Baseball's boring, or whatever he would say.
Yeah.
And I remember I filed it away and said, I don't really like him. And I made comments on the air like, boy, Rendon, he just rubs me the wrong way.
Right.
Now that he has flamed out as one of the worst free agent signings in baseball history and is now a walking joke of a guy who took his money and went home, I think back to those comments and I say, I can see it.
Yeah.
Juan Soto's the opposite of
100%.
That. Juan Soto wants to be the greatest hitter of all time. He wants to be Ted Williams. He has a work ethic like that. And I don't think he got this contract and said, you know what? I've won a championship. I got my money. I'm good. He doesn't reek of that. He reeks of a guy that wants to be a Hall of Famer and be viewed as one of the greatest hitters of all time. Whether he gets there or not, we'll see. Hopefully he does. And that's why I don't buy that narrative, because it's not based on anything other than a guy slumping in the first 50 games of a new contract. It's not based on actions. It's not based on words. It's not based on work ethic. I had a guy email me last night and say he's 10 pounds overweight. Is he? I don't see that. Do you guys see that he's 10 pounds overweight?
Doesn't look like it, but I don't know. I mean, we're looking at him with the uniform on.
Front page of the Post today, again, it's a swing, it's a gut. I can't define pounds, but he looks a little pudgier.
Does he?
Slight.
I don't see it.
Doesn't mean he's Bartolo Colon, though.
No, I get you. One thing that is weird, but I'm not going to put a lot of stock in it, but I will say it on the radio, is that his bat speed is down 2 miles an hour.
Yes.
Now, the reason I don't put a lot of stock in it is because they just started registering bat speed couple of years ago.
Yeah.
What does it mean? Yeah. Like, well, it's down 2 miles per hour, so that means something. Well, what does it mean? Did Mark McGwire's bat speed go up or down between 98 and 99? I have no idea. There's no frame of reference. Mm-hmm. So when you have a stat or a number that has zero frame of reference other than the last 2 years, I look at it and say, okay, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that. Like, what does that mean? What was Tony Gwynn's bat speed? I honestly don't know. What was Albert Pujols' bat speed? Did it go up? Did it go down? Did it stay the same? If you can't answer that question, then I don't know what I'm supposed to tell you with this.
Yeah, because bat speed, we assume it just lets you hit fastballs better or make contact easier. But it could be intentional, right? It could be something that, I don't know, inside baseball makes you a better hitter if you're more deliberate with how you attack a ball. So we have no idea.
Let's go to John.
But I did see that same stat.
Yeah, John in Staten Island. Hey, John.
What's up, gentlemen? I'm going to explain the Juan Soto thing very quickly. Let's say you're like a very handsome guy. You're dating a lot of girls. You're living with them. It's awesome. Then all of a sudden, you're like a little bored, and Stephanie Cohen shows up. She's hot as can be. She's like, I'm not giving it up unless we get married. So you marry her without living with her, and then you show up to her palatial mansion, and they have 22 brothers living there with the in-laws. You're going to take some time to get used to it. I mean, it's so simple. Like, it's not normal. And by the way, Tommy rules, let's go Knicks, let's go Mets, and enough of this, I'm not happy. He's just in a funk. Get over it.
There you go. Hell of a phone call. Hell of a phone call. That was a good phone call.
Well done.
Well said. A lot of good stuff there. Loves you, Tommy. Loves the Knicks. But I think it is very fair what he said about Soto. And it's tough in this Twitter sports talk radio world to say, hey, relax. Because instantly we want our gratification.
Yeah.
More so than ever before. But relax. He's kind of right about that.
I agree.
Relax. My issue isn't he isn't going to hit. I've never said that. My issue was last night. I don't like being lied to. Don't tell me you're hustling when you're not hustling. That's just stupid. Like, don't say that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we were, in your words, lied to, but I think back to Francisco Lindor and mm-hmm. his start here, not only worse statistically than Juan Soto, but he literally told the fans, you know, thumbs down.
You're right.
So that was way worse. He is now beloved, and people want him to be the captain of the team. So we don't know where this will end, but look at where Lindor started.
And that's not the only example.
And we heard the same things about Lindor. He's getting paid all this money, and it was the same narrative.
And it took him a while to get used to this place, and he wasn't the only one. Carlos Beltran, mm-hmm. same thing. To a degree, Alex Rodriguez. To a degree. It's different. I'll give you another guy. Roger Clemens. He got off to a terrible start here. Right. So there are a lot of stories like that, which is why even, I don't want to say this on May 20th because it'll depress people. He may have a crappy season, and I still would think it'll end up well. Kind of like Lindor, to your point, Tommy. He had a bad first year. Beltran not only had a bad first year, when he got off to a good start in 06, and he hits that home run, and Delgado has to, like, push him out of the dugout to give a curtain call because he's still pissed at the fans. Think about that. Piazza had a rocky start at times with Mets.
And he had a good start to his career with the Mets as far as statistically.
But it wasn't enough.
It wasn't enough for whatever reason. Was the Lindor game against the Yankees, what, he had like three home runs?
Yes.
Was that kind of his turning point?
No.
What do you think it was?
I think his turning point was just honestly, I don't think Lindor became a beloved Met until last year.
Yeah.
Like, I think Lindor had a really good 22. So I think everybody was good with him. Mets obviously made the playoffs, but then they flamed out, which he was a big part of. Then they suck in 2023, and the locker room is a problem. And it was a lot of, hey, if they could trade Lindor, they should. That was said.
Yeah.
So I don't think Lindor turned and became a beloved Met until he went on the rampage in the middle of last year. Think about how long he had been here until he became a Met. So it takes time, man. It really does. There's a lot of examples of that. And hopefully it doesn't take that much time with Soto. I'm hoping it doesn't. But yeah. When did Lindor become beloved? It's a great question.
No, it was I think
last year.
There were people that loved him for sure, but there were a lot of haters still among Mets fans and then whomever else. But like, he really turned it around where there were no doubters after last year.
Year four.
Yeah.
In the middle of year four, and he had a lot of moments last year that you could pick, maybe the home run against the Blue Jays with the no-hitter, or maybe it's all the way at the end, game 161. Take your pick. But Lindor became a Met, a beloved, don't ever criticize him, even though we still will, Met last year.
Yeah, and whether it was a thumb down or the rat in a raccoon thing, whatever the hell that was, there were more stories with Lindor. Now, we'll see what happens with Soto, but the Soto stuff feels more just like fabricated narrative from the other side that wants to make Steve Cohen and the Mets look bad because Juan Soto picked them.
Just fabricated from the other side. It doesn't help that he isn't producing. It doesn't help that he isn't shuffling. It doesn't help that he BS'd us last night to the media. All that stuff adds to it. If he was performing, there's nothing the other side could say.
No, they could still look at it and be like, well, he... No, come on,
nah,
man.
Nah, Tommy, if he was producing, Evan, what could the other
Evan,
side say?
The other side, if we'll call him that, literally wanted to break down the fact that he didn't celebrate with Pete Alonso after a homer, or he didn't sit there long enough in the dugout after another
I'm
going
to warn you about something, Tommy.
Isn't that like Hold crazy on. Levels of
I'm gonna,
trying to
I'm gonna warn
get in
you.
Our heads?
I'm going to warn you about something.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I got to show you something to make you understand. By the way, stay tuned for Baseball Not in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac, coming up next on SNY.
I don't know what you want to show me, but just keep it above board. This is a children's program.
I want to show you something. So I happen to agree with you. I think that he'll be fine, right? So we're on the same page.
Okay.
But I always want to be open-minded. I need to show you something to understand that those little things may be more than we imagine. Can I give you an example?
Yeah.
Robert Saleh and Aaron Rodgers and the awkward embrace.
Yeah, the bro hug that he rejected.
That happened, right. And I went ape crap on all of you. It's fan fiction, and it means nothing. I am not proud enough or too proud to say, hey, by the way, looking back on it, geez, was I wrong?
Well, I mean, that's
it
only,
meant
that's,
something.
That's only if you believe that Robert Saleh's demise was orchestrated by Aaron Rodgers. And I don't think that was the case.
Maybe not, but because it looks different than it looked at the time.
I hear you, but I think Aaron Rodgers is not vain enough to think that him getting Robert Saleh fired is going to put the team in his control and they're going to win because of him and not the head coach. That doesn't make any sense.
No, I agree. And I think to this day, I don't think Aaron Rodgers got Robert Saleh fired.
Yeah.
But I look at that incident differently than I did at the time where it was like there's nothing there.
Yeah.
And I think with all those little things around Soto and non-celebrating, we may look at it differently. I think in the moment you become very defensive, which I was with the Saleh Rodgers thing, which you are right now, which I am right now about Soto. But we may look back at it and say, boy, there was something there.
Yeah.
Kind of like I talked about with Rendon, where Rendon made those comments and you didn't. It didn't hit you until it was obvious. Like, oh, that guy hates baseball.
But it's
yeah,
not
no kidding.
Coming. It's not coming from a place or a fan base. And look, they could feel this way. They're not doing it to be like, man, Juan Soto doesn't have that smile back. I hope he gets that smile back so he could be great for the Mets. It's coming from a place of people that want to see not him fail. They want to see the Mets fall flat
but
on their face.
But you can't blame everything on the boogeyman. There are Met fans who are analyzing the body
okay.
language of Juan Soto, too. It's not just a Yankee thing.
All right, but we're coming off a basketball season where we broke down the body language of Mikal Bridges. Boy, were those people wrong. Because when the moment mattered the most, he stepped up. I know they're not the same level of players, but he had the same type of, oh, this guy's body language, he's this, he's that, he's not ready for the big lights, and then Bridges ended up stepping up in the big spot. We don't know Juan Soto and what he's going through right now. Maybe he's just not hitting, and that he doesn't want to smile.
Well, that's what I think it is.
Yeah.
Like I've said that from the beginning, that the Soto stuff is about him not performing. And it's funny, if you missed the beginning of the show, guy called in and said, hey, even in San Diego when he struggled, he still shuffled. And I called him out and said,
right.
Do we even know that? So Sean made some phone calls, did some research, and found out that in San Diego, while he was struggling, he still shuffled, and it was a controversy. Like, how is this guy shuffling while he sucks? Meanwhile, in New York, our controversy is, why isn't he shuffling
right.
even though he sucks? So
yeah, you want him to shuffle just because it proves that he's dialed in.
Right. Which I guess means we're always going to be unhappy unless a guy is producing.
That's exactly what it means.
Whether you're a Met fan or a Padre
fan. Right, you can't satisfy everybody or really anybody.
Now, we do need to make a very official prediction right now at 5:40. Obviously, tomorrow at 5:30, we will make our official Knicks-Pacers predictions. But the Western Conference Finals begins tonight. I know Knicks fans are glued to it because you believe you're going to the NBA Finals. I mean, so you're watching to see who your opponent is going to be. So let's make our Western Conference Finals predictions real quick, and then we'll get to your calls, 888-808-1019. If you don't mind, I'd like to go first.
Go ahead.
I have a very strong opinion on this. I think the Thunder are going to crush them. And the only debate I have is 4 or 5.
Mm.
It takes a lot of guts to say 4 because you need near perfection to complete a sweep. So I'm going to be a little conservative and give Minnesota 1 game. But I think the Thunder, who remember, let's not forget how historically good they were in the regular season. I think they took their biggest punch.
Right.
And they took it from a team that won a championship a couple
right.
of years ago. And they took it hard, even in Game 7. They trailed in Game 7 early. And like the snap of a finger, they turned the script.
Right.
They are a deep team. They are a balanced team. I predict Oklahoma City in 5. And spoiler alert, whether it's the Knicks or it's the Pacers, they'll do the same thing in the NBA Finals. The Thunder are about to go 8 out of their next 10 and win their first ever NBA championship.
Jeezy peasy.
Tiki Barber.
So you just picked the Knicks series as well.
No, I didn't. I said the Thunder are beating the Knicks or the Pacers. Oh, I don't know who that is. So,
got it. I think the Thunder and six is what I feel. Only because Minnesota is, I don't know, scrappy, right? They have a dog in their lead ace, their alpha. And I don't know, there's something about them that it makes it hard for me to feel like they're just going to get beat down and get run out of the building night after night after night. But I do think that OKC is the better team. So I'm going to say OKC in six.
Sean Morash.
I love the Thunder. I think the Thunder probably win the championship. I'm going to give a little more respect to Minnesota here. I think Anthony Edwards is going to have a series. And I think Minnesota's going to clean up on the glass like they did versus the Lakers. I think the Thunder win in seven like they did versus Denver.
Tommy Lugauer. Tommy's in a tough spot because he's made two predictions about this. Before the playoffs began, he actually had a Thunder-Cavaliers NBA Finals. But then also, before that, made a Knicks-Timberwolves my heart prediction. Right. So it's either his heart, Minnesota, or it's his brain, Oklahoma City. I don't know where Tommy's going.
Well,
now,
my heart is still in the Eastern Conference Finals, so my heart will stay in the Western Conference Finals. The Minnesota Timberwolves will beat the Thunder in six games. I think OKC has been exploited a little bit in the playoffs. They like to steamroll teams, much like the Celtics. And much like the Celtics, when you get them in close games, they kind of struggle a little bit in the half court, and I think Minnesota will do that. Give me the T-Wolves in six.
There you go. By the way, what did Jalen Williams wear that got him fined? I kept seeing he got fined $25,000 for wearing profanity on his shirt. And every time I tried to Google like what he actually wore, I couldn't find it. I found that very, very frustrating. So anyhow, if anyone knows, please let me know. Let's get back to your phone calls. I always find the profanities interesting. Like, what did he say? By the way, speaking of profanities, did you know Aaron Boone got ejected in his major league debut as a player?
I didn't, but he said so on his brother's podcast.
Yes, he said it, so I went to look it up. And so Aaron Boone got thrown out at the plate by Brian Jordan on a bang-bang play. And it looked like he was safe. It did. And as he was called out, the umpire then proceeded to immediately eject him.
You're an idiot.
Which means Aaron must, I can't imagine what he said in his major league debut.
But he immediately walked off.
Yeah.
Right?
You guys are dumb.
He said something to the umpire, immediately got thrown out and just left. And then their manager, Ray Knight, the great Ray Knight, came out to argue. So we need to find out what Aaron Boone said.
Shut up, Tubby.
I doubt it was that. Sean wasn't talking.
We'll find out someday.
Right.
Let's go to Chris in Manhattan. How are you, Chris?
Hey, guys. Brian Jordan, all-time Met killer, right?
Oh, I know. Evan,
oh, boy.
Oh, I know.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Hey, two things on Soto, just a statement that I want to ask Kiki something. I think we're not forgetting, but we have to realize this guy is 26. You know, like, he's 26, so he signed this deal, the biggest deal in the history of baseball. He's still really young, and clearly this is probably the most scrutiny he's ever been under.
No doubt.
And, you know, he's put – right. So like, there's going to be an adjustment. I trust him. I trust Mendy to help him get through this. But I wanted to ask Tiki, when you played, would it be fair to say that these two things made you the best version of yourself, and one would be – overcoming adversity, and two would be having a coach or someone that really believed in you?
Oh, without a doubt. It was really both of my coaches. One, anxiety or adversity is going to happen. Failure is part of life. It's certainly part of sports, and we see it because it's real time. You know whether you did your job or not, like, immediately. And so you're going to fail a lot more than you're going to succeed, but coming back from it is most important. But I think the bigger thing is what he said, secondly, about your coaches or a coach trusting and believing that you could figure it out and be the best version of yourself. And Jim Fossil was the first one that did it for me, because Ernie, of course, he was trying to get rid of me over and over and over again. And he just kept, I don't know, saving my job and putting me in positions to have success, whether it was as a punt returner or a third down back. And eventually I figured it out with Sean Payton. And the same thing happened with Coach Coughlin, because of Gerald Ingram, my running back coach, who fixed my fumbling issue, which allowed me to become a great player. So it's always about that.
Let's go to Tony in Connecticut. Hey, Tony.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
I got a couple of things, and I want to tell Evan something also.
All right.
Regarding Soto, all right, what I'm really disappointed is in Mendy. The first time that he didn't hustle the ball out, and then especially the day after, he should have pulled him right off the field. He should have benched him. And then Juan Soto saying that he thinks he's hustling is absurd. What does he think? Like these, you know, like we're dummies?
Well, I agree. Well, let me just counter one thing. I agree with your second part, yeah. And that's my big issue with Juan. We're not dummies. We know you're not hustling. But I want to get back to pulling him out of the game because I think this is complicated. Francisco Lindor didn't hustle on a ground out to end the seventh or the eighth. I forget. I think it was the seventh. Should he have been pulled off the field too?
Absolutely.
I don't think you can do that. Like, I think you're going to be pulling guys left and right. Guys don't hustle. Like, that's baseball in 2025. I hate to tell you that. And so I almost think you got to pick your spots. You got to pick your spots where you're angry. And I know that sounds weird, but how else do you do it? Because if you want to pull a guy for not hustling, where do we draw the line, considering there are a lot of examples, which I'll start plugging down on my tablet. I'm going to start writing it down, Yankees and Mets. No one is going to escape from this, where every day we're going to have a segment, very brief, we don't have to spend too much time on it, where I'm going to say, oh, yeah, this guy didn't hustle, this guy didn't hustle, this guy didn't hustle.
And at what point do you start calling for him to be sat down? That's the question. Because if it happens once or twice, okay, whatever. If it happens 10 times in a month, then is that like what's the cutoff?
I'll give you another idea of a cutoff. DJ LeMahieu, my guy, is in the lineup tonight for the New York Yankees. If he hits a ground ball to second base and he doesn't hustle, aren't we going to say, well, he kind of shouldn't? He's old. Right. He's going to break down.
Possibly. And I
right when you say that?
I'd also be honest with you. If I'm Giancarlo Stanton, I'm holding off coming back until all the heat about hustling comes out here.
He's exaggerated, though, isn't he?
Is he?
I don't
know. Was it the very first bit we did on the show, me running around the bases to see if I'm faster than Giancarlo's hustling?
But we weren't doing it. Like, I remember that, and you did a great job. I wasn't doing it saying he's lazy. I was doing it laughing at the idea, boy, he can't run anymore, and he shouldn't. Like, I wasn't ripping him for it, believe it or not.
But it's going to look that way now.
No, it does look bad. That's
all our antennas are up for hustle now.
No, you're right. And that's the whole thing with hustling. Like, it's moments that bother you. The Soto thing bothered us because it was off the green monster. It bothered us because it was the eighth inning against the Yankees in a series where he did nothing.
Right.
It's specifically the moment that really is going to bother you.
Yeah, it's not any on a Tuesday. Not that it's Tuesday, but you know what I mean? On a Tuesday against a random team and you just
realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Like, oh God, I didn't get enough of that. And you just kind of jog down the line and it's the middle of the game and nobody's on base and it doesn't mean anything, you'll forget it.
Right.
But if it's a big moment, and unfortunately for Juan Soto, these moments have felt big, important.
It's a combo of them being big moments, but also he's not producing.
Yes.
Guy produces, you're going to be like, ah, it's fine. Yeah, like if Aaron Judge didn't hustle tonight, are we really going to freak out? Well,
we did this with Gleyber Torres at being last year when he wasn't producing, not hustling.
And that's what it was connected to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Once you started producing, you talk less about it. Zach's in Massapequa. Hey, Zach.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love the show. The last gentleman who was just on, very nice guy, did it in a very professional way, critiquing Juan Soto. I'm not going to do that. Juan Soto does not try. He does not get to balls in the outfield that a high schooler would get to. It is ridiculous. I don't think I've seen him hit top speed in the outfield once this year. He doesn't run. He doesn't track balls. He gets over. He moseys around. It looks like he's not hurrying up to get the ball in. He doesn't have a good enough arm to even do that. It's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, he's not a great right fielder. I know he was in the finals for the Gold Glove last year, but he's not a super athlete, yeah. And he's not a great right fielder. He's good. He's serviceable.
The fact he was in the AL Gold Glove, that's just, you know, tip your cap to the Yankees. That's what happens when you play for the Yankees.
It felt like that.
But it's ridiculous. I don't understand. Like, high school varsity athletes are getting to that ball that Judge hit in the Subway Series. Like, I don't understand. Out of the box, you know, I get it. You're not – like, it's just the way baseball is. Not everybody hustles every time. I get that. But that's why I also love Nimmo so much, because he does hustle.
No.
In the outfield, you know, you guys have been referencing Lindor. He doesn't always hustle either. But you know for damn sure when there's a ball hit to shortstop, he is going all out to get it.
Right. He's getting in the hole even if it's nuts. Even if it's I mean, there was one, I think it was in the Subway Series. It was like almost past him, and he snagged it.
Yeah, no, I got you.
And so, like, that's what you want from a complete all-around player. This is why Judge has always been the better player, even if Juan Soto was the better hitter.
And Juan had a good defensive weekend against the Yankees.
Yeah.
He made that nice running catch. He made the good throw, fielding that ball off the fence that held a runner from third. But the Aaron Judge play that he's referring to, as it happened, I didn't think it was a big deal. But I saw that the expected batting average on that play was like 158.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn. Anyhow, earlier in the show, we were talking about Juan's lack of smiling and shuffles. And I said, hey, Sean, we got to see. Go call your people in San Diego. Actually, he wanted to call his people in San Diego. I said, you need to watch the tape. Called his people in San Diego. They said, don't worry, he shuffled a lot. And I said, all right, you did a good job, but still watching it does more. We have a listener to our show. His name is Wolfie. Wolfie has spent this entire radio program listening to us and watching old Juan Soto clips.
How?
I want Wolfie's job.
Are you ready for this? Wolfie writes, Evan, I'm about to blow your mind. Okay. When you start off by telling me you're going to blow my mind, let me hear. I just went back and watched every single pitch Juan Soto took last year from August 16th to the 28th. Not a big stretch, but I want you to hear me out. I picked it because he was in a slump. He played four series during that stretch, three against Detroit, three against Cleveland, three against Colorado, three against the Nationals. He went 6-for-45. That is a 133 batting average, and he had seven walks. Okay, so this is last year with the Yankees, massive batting slump. I tried to keep a rough estimate, but he saw at least 200 pitches during that stretch, probably closer to 250. Do you want to know how many times he did the Soto shuffle in that span? Okay? This is research!
200-plus pitches. There's probably, how many of them are balls versus strikes? I'm going to say 80.
80 shuffles?
Yes.
4 shuffles.
Wow.
2 in the same game. First game against Cleveland and 1 later in that series, and 1 on his first at-bat back in Washington at Nationals Park, where he also tipped his cap and could tell the emotions were high during that at-bat.
So he doesn't shuffle when he's slumping.
And maybe you can say...
At least as a Yankee didn't.
Well, at least this evidence. And maybe one can say a half of 1 the last game against the Tigers in his first at-bat, but you could tell he did it because there were some little leaguers at the game, and he did a slight 1 for the children. Long story short, but he did the shuffle 4 times in 2 weeks.
Wolfie, this is impressive.
2 in the same game where he hit a homer right after he did it. So clearly he only does it when he's locked in. Funny how Yankee fans didn't mention this last year.
Mm.
Sean, great research by Wolf. First of all, round of applause
to Wolf. Yeah, good job by Wolf.
Good job, Wolfie.
Good job right there. Any reaction to his research?
I mean, the reaction is easy. He got off to such a great start that his slump didn't matter.
Yeah, and we probably just weren't paying attention to that.
Because Judge was having an MVP season.
And also, after watching almost all of his at-bats last year, it's not as if, like, this is the other thing we need to remember with the shuffle.
Were they losing those games?
They won a bunch versus Cleveland.
So did they lose those games?
I'll give you their exact record.
They had a 3-game losing streak in the midst of that stretch.
All right, I will tell you their exact record in a second. Wolfie did not supply that. Don't get on Wolfie. Wolfie did a lot of good stuff.
Oh, the details don't matter.
But let me just say this. It's not like
it looks like, just for the record, so they lost 2 out of 3 to Detroit, 1 2 out of 3 against Cleveland, 1 2 out of 3 against Colorado, lost 2 out of 3 to Washington. So pretty much right around 500. Pretty much what the Mets are doing right now.
But the Soto shuffle is one of those things. I don't remember him doing it every single game. It was just, you know, how you mix it in and do it. Maybe I just got so used to it I didn't pay attention, but... Like, he's literally invisible from doing any of it right now. I think it's a little different.
I think it goes back to the point I've made for days and the point that Wolfie made, which is he does it when he's locked in, and he's not locked in. And we could try to figure out why. I don't know. It's baseball. Baseball's a hard game. I mean, sometimes you're not locked in. Why did Pete Alonso go from hitting 350 to 150 over the last week? Baseball's hard. So I fully expect that when Soto gets hot, and hopefully it's this year and not next year, and it's not just a down Beltranian kind of year or Lindorian kind of year, I think you will see the shuffle. But great job by Wolfie.
That is a good job by Wolfie.
Yeah, very good.
That's the kind of research, man, you need.
No errands to run for Wolfie today, I guess.
Nah, he was focused. Don't mock the guy. He did everything he needed to do. He was focused, man. I appreciate that. By the way, I'm going through the Yankees season last year. When they played the Tigers on a Sunday afternoon, there was an announced attendance of 2,532. Oh, the Little League game.
Sunday night Little League game.
Okay, good. I feel better now.
That's why he made the joke about it in front of kids.
Good call. By the way, you know who's playing the Little League game this year?
Mets.
The Mets? Mets against the Mariners Little League game. That's coming up, I think, in August.
Yeah, when the Little League World Series is played.
Oh, is that when they do it?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
They do it for the kids in the Little League World Series to attend.
Oh. Can you go to that game? Like, if you wanted to go to that game?
I actually believe you can.
Yeah,
I think we did this bit last year where we tried to see if we could buy in the secondary market, and we couldn't.
I don't think it was a bit. I think it was, like, Keith McPherson wanted to go, or Chris McMonagle wanted to go, or BT. Well, BT probably wouldn't want to go, but everybody wanted to go. I want to see Mets Mariners at a Little League field. I'm up for that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.